Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to America. Welcome into the show. You know it's official because producer Mike's eating his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's how you know things are about to get off on the right foot. We have a very special guest this entire hour. You heard him on Tuesday night. He was the secret special guest at the holiday radio show. Our friend Larry Rice, thanks for coming in.
Great. Thanks a lot. Yes.
I'm glad that you said you'd come in. It's been over a year, it feels like, since we had you in studio last. And it's about time we got an update. I'd catch updates from Kevin Killeen every once in a while, and he'd keep me up to date with what's going on. And maybe we can get an update from you tonight. What's going on with your shelter downtown?
Well, we have a lot of things going on. In fact, I might mention right off the bat, we're going to be having a big Christmas party in front of 1411 Locust on Christmas Day. And if people want to volunteer, they should contact us tomorrow at 314-421-3020. But it's going to be a great celebration with the homeless. I mean, we have over 250 backpacks were given to them. I'm thankful. Grace Church gave us 250 backpacks, just all packed with stuff
to give.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
And then we're going to be giving bus tickets to the homeless. They got a catered meal all out right out in the street. Presents that they can pick for their children that they can take to their children after the party's over.
Oh, that's awesome.
All kinds of blankets and coats and hats and socks and all kinds of things. It's going to be a great Christmas party. We're having it outside until we are successful with our initiative petition to get us back into the building during the daytime.
Weather St. Louis. Let me see what the temperature is going to be on
Everybody needs to pray. It's going to be 54, hopefully.
I know. That's what they keep saying. So Wednesday, they're saying about 52 degrees.
Great.
We'll take that. 50-some degrees on Christmas. 2 years ago, I think we had snow. Last year, we did not. 52 degrees this year. How about that?
That's great. It was cold Thanksgiving, but I always tell our volunteers, look, we're only out there a few hours. These individuals are there day after day after day. They don't have any real day shelter in St. Louis.
So what do you need volunteers to do? What kind of things would you
be asking?
We
got all kinds of things we're going to have our volunteers do.
Yeah.
We're going to have some even serve as groups of carolers. So as they're in the line for their bus tickets or backpacks, there'll be people caroling with them. And then we're going to have volunteers that are going to actually go around and encourage them and be hosts and hostesses. Others that help set up, take down. There's just all some will be working the tables, distributing the toys for the homeless to take to their children. They're going to be people working in the clothes booths that we're going to have set up there. And I've got meals we're having out there. So it's just going to be a lot of stuff that the volunteers will be able to do.
That has to mean the world to them that someone would think, hey, here's a gift you can give to your kid. And then for them to be able to do that, spread that on things or on Christmas, that's just an awesome idea. I love that so much.
We're going to have two tents set up just with that and have all these tables around there that they'll use from in the morning till about 10 o'clock. Then we take those same tables and shuffle them into tables that they'll sit around when they have their dinner.
Oh, that's so great. What time does that start?
Okay, well, we're asking the volunteers to contact us again at 314-421-3020. They'll be asked to be with us from like 7:30 in the morning to about 12:30 noon.
Yeah.
The whole party is going to be going from a little before 9 to about 11:30, but there's set up, take down, and so just a lot. And we have a permit to block off the street between 14th and 15th on Locust, so we're outside till we get inside.
Is that hard to get a permit for that?
The city's been very cooperative in that respect.
Okay, good.
A good worker that she, Dulcie, she gets that all lined up. And in fact, what we're going to do is we're also going to try to mobilize these same volunteers because the last Saturday of each month, what we do is we set up out there and have ongoing street celebrations for the homeless so they know they're not alone. So we do that on the last Saturday in front of 1411 Locust. Then the other Fridays, we're under Mayor Crewson's window. Tomorrow morning, I'll be out there again about 7:30 with all the homeless.
You do that a lot. You hand out bus tickets and things for people that need them. Yeah, I mean, they got doctor's appointments. They got other things that they need to do to better themselves, jobs, anything like that. They need a way to get around, and that's what you do. You help them with the bus fare.
We've ended up at New Life Evangelistic Center as the largest, if not the largest, one of the largest transportation distributors in Mid-America. We'll give out hundreds and hundreds of these bus tickets, and people forget that, hey, there can be places that they can eat around the city, and there can be other places they can go, but they can't get there without the transportation. So I'll have them wait in the coldest days and in line just to get a few bus tickets so that they can get to where they got to go. If we want to get them off the streets and they want jobs, they have to be able to get to the job.
Doesn't that drive you nuts when you hear stories like the Loop Trolley, $52 million on something no one uses, and they try to make it sound like it's mass transportation, and then you're out there, you're actually providing transportation for people for a place that they absolutely need to go to, and you're giving them that lifeline as something that no one reached out to them in the past. That's got to drive you crazy when you see, yeah, $52 million wasted on something like that.
Well, it'd be nice if Bi-State would send some bus tickets our way, but we don't get any kind of break. We have to go out and buy them, and that's thousands and thousands of dollars a month. But it's meeting a tremendous need, and there's been bitter cold nights where they just weren't able to get in shelter or anything, and they'll ride the bus till they run out of their tickets.
Oh, okay.
The day shelter thing is what's we have a lot of pop-up shelters, and I'm grateful for that around the city. I'm really grieved we don't hear more about the need in St. Louis County. It's terrible over there and in Illinois. I mean, I'll say an awful lot about the city and how I feel the city needs to do more and the like, but this is a regional problem. And the fact of the matter is, though, there's no place for the people to even go during the day. And when that bitter cold weather hit and the snow was hitting the other day, I picked up a couple of the ladies that were going to our safe houses. They're standing outside the library. The library is closed. People come running up to the car. They're freezing. Their socks are wet. Yeah. This one lady I picked up, in fact, I met her a couple weeks earlier, and she just went after our sandwiches. She said she hadn't eaten for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
She used to own a business in Ladue. She's had serious health problems. Only 8% of her heart really functions at this time. She was living in a warehouse when she came to us. Now she's in one of our safe houses. But she said that she got so depressed she felt like walking in front of a Bi-State bus. Her socks were wet. It's very, very difficult for them out on the streets right now.
Yeah, Larry Rice joining us here on Overnight America. How many times do you hear that story? Ones that you – it's not your typical story, because just generally speaking, when you think of – the homeless problem in the city of St. Louis, people automatically think of things like, okay, there's addiction, or there's this, or there's violence, or there's that. She was a business owner in Ladue. How many times do you hear those sort of stories that you think to yourself, man, this really could happen to anyone?
It can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
And again, we have right now about 9 safe houses, of which 8 of them are for 7 or 8 are for primarily women and children, and particularly women like between 50 and 65 years of age that really don't aren't able to get Social Security and they're can't hold a job. I think of Janice. We met her at the Hampton Loop. She had an electric wheelchair, and we had couldn't get her in any of our safe houses because we're not yet handicapped accessible. So I have to pay for putting her in a motel because her Social Security. She wasn't able to lock into that because she'd lost her card and lost some stuff. But so we helped her till she's now finally into a place. But the fact is, she was living in the Hampton Loop, this lady was, and elderly people like Mary that was out on the streets, so many. And Janet, another lady who's with us right now, her family had taken all of her money. And she was out there, and she ran out of money, and so she contacted us, and she has 4 broken ribs. So it's just really, we can tell you story after story, and there's so many of them hurting right now.
Yeah, and you have a petition. I want to talk about that when we come back from the break, but I also want to let anyone listening right now have the opportunity to call in if you want to talk to Larry Rice this hour, if you have any questions, if you have any stories you want to share. Here's the phone number. It's 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'll ask you about what is the latest with your homeless shelter, the one that the city's been hassling you about, because I'm really curious for an update myself. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Our guest this hour, the New Life Evangelistic Center, Reverend Larry Rice. Thank you so much for coming back on to Overnight America. You're the special guest at the holiday radio show. You did a great job.
Great to be here. We had a great time.
And I got to meet your wife, too, out there. She said she enjoyed it.
She sure did.
You have a position going out there regarding your shelter, and I want to talk to you about that in a moment. But before we do, Daniel's calling in. Let me get to him. Hi, Daniel.
Hey. Hey, Ryan. How are you doing?
Very good.
Back in 1997, I started volunteering through the mission there at 1411 Locust, and what I discovered, the entity that it is. And I believe as of early next year, we'll be 48 years in the major metropolitan area. I discovered there were hundreds of others like myself who came as volunteers to do outreach, help, and give of our time and talent to whatever we could to help people in need. And this was through the generosity, caring, sharing, and time of others. People came from churches, companies, other organizations throughout the Midwestern region here. So the 1411 misconception of it only being a shelter was very misguided. And my point is this. The organization had volunteers, youth groups would come in from other cities around America to the St. Louis region. They would do neighborhood outreaches, help. So there were so many other entities involved with this. This is not about one building. It's about an organization that continues to want to help and through others, such as myself and literally thousands of other volunteers, help people in the St. Louis region that are in need.
That's a good point. So part of the New Life Evangelistic Center is maybe underlining the word evangelistic. And it goes beyond just the walls. It goes to all the other work that the volunteers will do there. And I think Daniel makes a pretty good point, because when you give a hassle and you start giving a hard time to the things you're doing because of the conditions of the building that you're trying to improve, you stopped a lot of other things outside of what was happening inside of those walls, too. Hey, Daniel, thank you very much for your call.
Yes.
Let me just mention that. Yeah.
During the holidays, people would line up. We gave out turkeys. I met a man yesterday at Home Depot. I happened to be there. He said, I got an air conditioner from you. Air conditioners in the summertime, heaters, blankets, training programs to break the cycle of homelessness. Mm-hmm. Trainees would come and they'd be a part of it. People, when they donate a dollar, they get $3 worth of direct help because of all the people who were volunteering and working like this. So a whole lot more was involved. The homeless were a very important focal point, but help people with utilities out of there. Just so many, many different things that we were able to help them with.
So this is my impression, the last thing that I remember when we were speaking. So your shelter there on Locust, open for decades, no problems. Then all of a sudden, the city says, everything's a problem. And the city decides to come through and they say, okay, here's a list of the problems. And you said, all right, whatever it takes, you start working on them. But you know what? Was never enough. It sounded like it was never enough. It didn't matter what you did. All you wanted to do was help the homeless. You wanted to help this community. And you were in this central location that you were just utilizing because you were able to gather people that really had no other place to go. City continued. Every time you do something, it didn't matter because they'd find something else over and over and over again. What's the latest of what's going on there?
Finally, a year ago in November 2018, after 8 different revisions of our architectural plans costing us $80,000, the building commissioner says, okay, do this and we'll give you the necessary permits. But then the developers and the condominium owners sued New Life Evangelistic Center and the city over this. I thought, well, great. The Board of Building Appeals with the city, they're going to agree because, no, they all totally sided with the developer. So in the meantime, while we had this permission, we went in and we did 90% of the demolition they wanted us to do. We replaced fireproof doors. We put sprinkler systems throughout the building, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. Then they said, stop, okay? So now I'm asking people to really pray. Ezra encountered the same thing when we read the Bible when they tried to build the temple, okay? So and they actually went on and finished the job, and the Persian king paid for it. But, hey, that'd be a miracle. But in the meantime, we are going to the people. Because I sat down with the mayor along with Pastor Mark, Pastor Ray, a couple pastors on our team about a month ago. Actually, Kevin Killeen kind of encouraged, go see her. I said, well, I don't know. He said, so we did, and we had a very nice meeting, but I laid it out before. I said, look, if you just don't want us there, you know that this building is worth a lot of money. Give us 5 acres of ground. See that we get the resources that runs into the millions to build a state-of-the-art facility in the city. She didn't want to do that. She backed off. She said, well, we don't have 5 acres. I said, yes, you do. You have 9,000 vacant LRA lots.
Yeah.
You can do this. Well, when I saw that she wasn't going to do anything to move this forward, we then came up with an initiative petition. And we're going to be distributing these. We're going to let volunteers get these on Christmas Day. We'll let them go out with this. I've sent this out to 400 volunteers. volunteers I've had in the city of St. Louis, I think each one. So we're going to take this to the city voters, and we're going to ask the registered voters to sign this petition. We're going to turn them in and put it on the ballot. And what it essence is say, shall the city of St. Louis allow New Life Evangelistic Center to make the necessary renovations at 1411 Locust according to building permit issued by the Building Commission on or about November 7, 2018. And once such renovations are made, the necessary occupancy permits be granted so this facility can reopen as a church to serve the community during the day.
I love it.
Straight to the
point. I love that you're not giving up on this. You've been fighting this. So many other people would have just said, you know what? You fight it. You know what you're looking at, and you know that it's too hard. People would have given up by now. You're not giving up.
You can close down a building, but you can't close down a church. What's happened to some of my close associates, like Pastor Ray and Chris, and we have another pastor join them, they've become first responders out on the streets. They're out on the streets every day, into the nights. They're finding cases. They know where all the people are in the warehouses. People don't go into pop-up shelters. They're working out there. Then we've also now got our administrative headquarters at 2428 Woodson Road in Overland, Missouri, where people bring in items there. We do utility assistance there. And then we give them to our first responders. And then I join the first responders every Friday morning under Mayor Crewson's window. As she looks out her window, she'll see that there's hundreds and hundreds of homeless people. And so we are seeing them provide more pop-up shelters this year in the city than they have in previous years, but no day center. And we're going to first start this out, and we're going to do a day center. That's what we want to do, is just open up during the day. We do this in Springfield. In Springfield, Missouri, operated by my son and grandson, we have the largest daytime walk-in facility in Springfield. The homeless go in there. They get meals. They get showers. They get to use computers. They have a place to store their belongings, all of which they can't do here. They have a free store. They have a library. They have a place they can rest. They're able to then interact. We have senior centers around the city, but the homeless don't have a place where they can interact. It builds their dignity and self-respect and break the cycle of homelessness and get them off the streets.
Very good. This is a good petition. How many signatures do you need?
Okay, we actually need to certify 10,000. I'm going after 25,000 because a lot of times people don't sign them according to their voter registration and the like.
Yeah.
By the way, a day center would also give people an opportunity to have a place to go to the bathroom. When you're homeless, where do you go to the bathroom at?
Yeah.
One of the ladies was describing that. She had some real medical problems, and there was no place for her to be able to even go to the bathroom on the street. So it's really, really difficult.
All right. I do want to talk more about this. Let me get a couple more calls in before we go to break. How about we go to Arthur first, who's calling in from Ferguson. Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Ryan? Reverend Rice? I've been working downtown since 1995, and I retired in 2003 because I take food over there to the homeless, and I take clothes and down there and give up to them. But the police always mess with them. Like, you know, I be going get lunch and everything. They more fault than anything because they keep bringing all the people down there and dropping them off and leave them.
This is something you've seen over the years, or did that start after a certain year, Arthur?
No, they was doing it all the time. Because I be going to lunch, or I be walking down Market Street over there where you work at. I see police putting them in the cars, taking them down the street to Reverend Rice place.
Arthur, were you a security guard at the courthouse?
I worked there for 38 years.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that story, how Jack Buck would stop by and say hi to you.
Yes, I did it. I had everything. They had me doing all kind of jobs, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, Arthur, I'm glad you called in. Thank you.
Right. I know Reverend Rice personally.
God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in.
God bless you, too. Good to hear from you again, Ryan. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year. All right, so we have this issue where the city doesn't know how they're going to handle this properly. So police pick up and shuffle?
He might have been describing more also that the county police would do this. Outlandish counties, they drop them off because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing in St. Louis County and over in Illinois and other communities. Now, in the city of St. Louis, it's very interesting. Lately, we haven't had what you'd refer to as police harassment for almost two reasons. One, we have a federal lawsuit pending because, as I mentioned, our first responders got a ticket for passing out sandwiches to people.
Yeah.
So we have a pro bono attorney that's representing them now, and that may be going to court. It's going to have national implications. So they have a right to do what Jesus told us to feed the hungry. So we are feeding them out there. Second thing is that in Iowa, you know, the Supreme Court didn't hear the issue concerning a federal lawsuit that was filed where actually the homeless have a legal right to lay down on the sidewalk if they have nowhere else to go. They won that, and then the Supreme Court didn't pick that up. So they literally have that right. So if the police follow the federal laws, And then the homeless can lay down where they want to if they don't give a place to stay. So there are laws protecting the homeless. But again, the sandwich issue is just so critical. We're just trying to feed the hungry people, and you get tickets for doing that. And they backed off a little on that. They haven't harassed us like they used to.
Yeah, I saw that Supreme Court ruling, and I saw the write-up on it. And basically they said that it violates the Eighth Amendment insofar that it has criminal sanctions against homeless individuals for sleeping outdoors on public property when no alternative shelter is available to them. You know, I want to talk to you about that. And, you know, Anthony, I want you to hold on because I want you to get your question to the Reverend Larry Rice. He's asking about how they spend money in the city of St. Louis when it comes to the homeless. They spend a lot of money to it. He wants to know if they're effective or not. So he's got a question for you. We're going to get to that coming up next. You're going to be with us all hour?
Yes, sir.
This is good. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Here's the phone number if you want to talk to Larry Rice, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So you have this petition. What's the wording on the petition again when it comes to 1411 Locust?
Well, it's should the city of St. Louis allow New Life to make the necessary renovations at 1411 Locust according to the building permit issued by the building commissioner on or about November 7th, 2018. And once such renovations are made, the necessary occupancy permits be granted so this facility can reopen as a church to serve the community during the day. So all we want to do is just make the repairs and help the community.
Isn't that frustrating? I hate government. So what happens? You do everything they say, then they change the target, and they keep changing the target, and they give you this indication that it'll never be enough. You got to go to the voters in order to say, hey, let this place open back up. They've done everything you've asked them to do. Isn't that ridiculous? Government shouldn't work like that.
I think taxpayers should be just enraged over the hundreds of thousands of dollars the city of St. Louis has spent in legal costs. And all the departmental heads going to before this Board of Public Service, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I know it because we've had to spend hundreds of thousands just to defend ourselves as they've come to all. And all I want to do is just help the homeless.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's take a couple more calls. And Anthony has been holding on. Thanks for calling in, Anthony. Hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good.
Hello,
you had a question.
Rice.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I have a question because I heard that the City of St. Louis gets $17 million a year to help the homeless. And I still see more and more homeless individuals. So do you think, Mr. Rice, if the city is actually spending this money wisely, and if you had $17 million, how would you help the homeless?
It's a good question. Thank you, Anthony. Good to hear from you.
Well, we don't have 2 hours to answer it, but I'll do it as fast as I can.
Well, let's start with the first one. Is it $17 million? Is that how much they spend?
You know, it's actually, it's that, but I've heard a couple of years ago it was up to $30, $40 million a year. So this is, it's down, but down to $17
million. Wow.
But let's keep this in mind. The city of St. Louis is doing a lot more than St. Louis County or anywhere else, okay? So, yes, the city of St. Louis is spending a lot of money, but it's doing a lot more than anybody else. At this stage, I just wish the city of St. Louis would leave us alone. We don't take any city, state, or federal dollars. Let us reopen 1411 Locust. Keep doing what they're doing. Now, they do have some good programs. Bear in mind this. They do have programs. St. Patrick Center is doing a lot of good during the day. You know, other agencies are doing a lot of good during the day. But the fact is they're placing people in for 6 months and a lot of different things. So if they weren't doing that, the situation would be horrendous. They'd be all people would be dying in the streets over and over. Now, there are people dying. It's not even getting reported. But the fact is that, I think that we could do it a lot cheaper. We never cost the city anything. We just want them to leave us alone. I wish they weren't so beholding the politicians were to the rich developers, like over in the loft at 15th and Locust that signed petitions to keep us closed down and keep the homeless out of sight and out of mind. Leave us alone. Do what you're going to do. But the fact is let's get the county to do something, too. Let's get Illinois to do something.
You know, you mentioned this. It's not being reported. How often do you find that someone who is homeless in the city of St. Louis, is found and not alive. Does that happen a lot?
It happens quite a few times. Some of our first responders have found them, particularly this time last year. I got a report of a man that during the severe cold that lost part of his feet. Another person told me this was in a nursing home. He went there. He died. Often they'll report their last address. Very seldom do they ever report that it was a homeless person, because back when a man froze in a porta potty, and that made big news, and another one froze in a dumpster, I think they've been going out of their way to not release it as being homeless out there.
Categorizing it in a different way.
In a different way. But they are dying out there. You can often tell how long homeless people have been on the street, how many tips of their fingers, their toes, their nose. I mean, I've seen a lot of things in the last maybe 48 years in January. I remember Leo coming into our building, his hands freezing. He goes in, he washes his hands, and his fingers broke off in the sink. And he comes out and doesn't have any fingers. I see this stuff.
Fingers broke off in the sink?
Yes, they literally froze. And then we had to get him Velcro so he could just close his clothes up. I mean, there are a lot of stories I can tell you that I've seen in 48 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And
that
we've
wow.
been, ever since then, we try to get gloves on everybody's hands, try to get socks on everybody. That homeless woman was telling me her feet got so wet the other day that if it hadn't been for a compassionate St. Louisan that took the socks off her feet and put it on this homeless woman. She was being put plastic bags on. She was very depressed. I mean, there are a lot of hurting people out there, but there's a lot of good unsung heroes also out there.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg, who's calling in. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing, my friend?
Very good.
You and I, we've talked about this, the homeless issue, so much. And I think here's what disturbs me. Yesterday morning, I found a homeless guy froze to death by the ice rink. And
hold on a minute. I'd see that wasn't reported. This is something. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
When I called 911, it took I don't know how long just for a response. Here's the reason why. Homeless people don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
So why would we need to? Why is the need to rush? Because, you know, they're not making any money for anybody. They're not paying taxes in the city. I knew this guy really well. I hadn't seen him for a week. He had been in the hospital. I brought him peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I'd bring him water during the winter, summertime, when I was working down at Keener Plaza. And I think the worst thing about this is that nobody cares except for Larry Rice.
Well, what's the name? Do you know his name by any chance? Because we know so many of these people.
No, he never told me his name.
Wow.
I should have asked.
That's all right. Thank you for taking care of him.
You know, and I get I'm a security officer at the ice rink at Keener Plaza for Winterfest, and
wow.
I get a lot of homeless folks coming by asking for things. You know, I can only make so many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I put out a plea for people in the area to bring those to me, and I could help, you know, pass it out. But here's what I don't like. We're worried about a soccer team instead of people, human beings.
Yep.
Ryan knows my passion for homeless people.
Yes.
We're worried about a soccer stadium, but I've never heard any of the aldermen in the city talk about the homeless in their district because they don't vote. That's the problem. They don't vote, so they're not important to them. But making money and putting a soccer field stadium up, I could really get enraged about this whole thing right now. But a man died.
Wow.
That was homeless.
Yes.
That I knew personally.
Yes.
And what irritates me, what enrages me, is that the way they took their time to get there, and they didn't even ask me what his name was or if I knew him or what happened. He was laying there. He was sitting there on the bench near the box office, and he was literally froze, and his eyes were open, and it just scared the hell out of me,
man,
to realize that could be any of us. People who have money, who have nice homes, Ladue, Frontenac, they walk by these people every day downtown. People need to realize that you could lose everything that you own in a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Quit walking by these people as if they don't exist. There could have been somebody's neighbor. That was somebody's father or grandfather that died, and nobody really cared. We have got to find a way in the city of being compassionate toward people that are homeless.
Mm-hmm. Greg, I'm so glad you called in. Thank you for sharing
that. Wow. See, this is what I was telling you. They're not even reporting it. They're just dying out there. I mean, and it is happening over and over.
Keep doing what you're doing, Greg. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too, sir.
Yeah, and Greg has called in and he's expressed this problem in the past. Let me just mention a few things here. He said two things. One thing he mentioned was the aldermen don't talk about it because they don't vote. Right. They don't spend the time in the effort when it takes to bring this up as an issue that it is.
Yes.
The other thing he mentioned was the no sense of urgency when it comes to helping them, when it comes to emergencies. The people come by and they take their time and they're just going through the protocol of checking off the list, which indicates to me they've been through this many times when it comes to the homeless, and which indicates what you're saying. There's so much of this going unreported that if they're just going through the motions when it comes to someone that has died on the streets of St. Louis who is homeless and it's no big deal to them, that indicates it's a much bigger problem than people want to say.
Let me do something. Your previous caller, I want to answer. He asked me a question. What would you do, Larry, if you had $17 million? Mm-hmm. I'd do what they're doing in San Antonio, Texas. I'd set up a haven. They have a haven of hope there, 20 acres. People would walk in. They're homeless. They work together with other agencies. They have a state-of-the-art shelter. They have training programs. They then place them. They have affordable housing. It had one location that we could take them all the way from the time they'd walk in through all the different stages, get them into affordable housing, help them get adequate medical and physical treatment. And wow, yes, if I had $17 million donated to us, we could do that. But just having the money isn't enough. He mentioned the aldermen. We'd have to have an alderman that say, yes, you can do it in my ward. We're not going to fight you. We're going to work together with you. I don't see that. Everybody says in somebody else's neighborhood, not my neighborhood. Wow. I mean, just having the money is not enough. You've got to have, like he said, the community has to come together. And there has to be something. We have to be more excited about this than sporting complexes.
Mm. Larry Rice, do you mind holding on one more break?
Sure.
Let's do that. I want to talk more about this. And if you have any questions, you can call in before we take a break at the top of the hour. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And Kathleen, hold on. We'll get you right after. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We have Larry Rice in studio with us, and Larry has agreed to stick around after the top of the hour because it seems like there's a lot of people that have some comments and questions. And we're going to go back to the phone lines here. But before we do that, we talked about this petition you have going on to try to reopen your shelter at 1411 Locust Street. So you have the New Life Evangelistic Center. You've been making the repairs to it, but it's never enough. The city seems to be hassling you all the way around. And you're just saying, fine, we'll take it to the voter to get this thing opened up again. You know, if people want to help or if people want to try to get signatures or anything like that, what would you ask them to do?
Two things. Jot down the number. Call us tomorrow. 314-421-3020. That's 314-421-3020. Or come out Christmas morning. Volunteer with us. We'll have signatures out there, petitions out there with us at 7:30 in the morning. We'll be helping the homeless. And we'll give you petitions. You can get started. You can meet these individuals. They're human beings like you and I are, and yeah, we know them on a first-name basis.
All right, let's take some more calls, and let's go to Kathleen, who's been holding on. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You have some comments for Larry Rice.
I do. Hello, Reverend Rice. I just want to, first of all, just thank you for being on the front line for this very, very troubling topic, which is the homelessness. And the three areas that I guess I wanted you to touch on was the criminalization of the homeless. Mm-hmm. It's when they're turning them into criminals, mm-hmm, you know, just by wanting their bare basic needs. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've seen your homeless manifesto addressing just the basic rights of homelessness and people who are homeless. I'd like to hear about that. I'd like to hear about the how mental health usually goes hand in hand with homelessness. And then lastly, has there been an explosion of women or mothers and children?
Okay. Hey, Kathleen, thank you very much. Good to hear from you.
Let me run through all three. She's totally hit the nail on the head, which is great. After 10 o'clock at night, notice all the signs in the park. You sleep in the park. you know, you're a criminal. You lay down somewhere, they say you're a criminal. Now, we hope the police will start abiding by the United States Supreme Court decision that if people have nowhere else to go, they can lay down on the sidewalk because they take away the bus at 7:30 at night and they're out there. So the criminalization of homelessness is very real. Everything you do, you're a criminal. You have to go to the bathroom somewhere, and there's no place at all to go bathroom. You do this, there can be a $100 fine. If you do it in public, you do it three times, they can even label you as a sex offender. So you got to go to the bathroom. No place to go at all. Criminalization of homelessness is very real. Women and children. Yes, I've got a woman with five children right now staying in a hotel. It's costing $330 a week. Because she couldn't get in any shelter. She's called the hotline day after day after day. So that's one. What was the second point?
Women and children. Have you seen an influx in that? Have you seen influx lately compared to previous years?
Yes, because they call the hotline every day, they can't get in there. But as I mentioned, I'm particularly seeing critical situations for single women that have nowhere to go, that have serious medical and mental problems, and mental health, she brought that up. Mm. They've cut back the mental health program severely. I knew Dr. Paul R., who's head of mental health for I don't know how many governors in the state of Missouri. He's worked with Camellia's House down in Miami. I've been to his place on a number of occasions. He joins me in lamenting over the fact they keep cutting mental health programs. They deinstitutionalized the homeless mentally ill are out on the streets now where they used to be at Malcolm Bliss. They used to be at State Hospital in Arsenal. They're out there. They don't get their medication. They have serious problems. And by the way, everybody wants the police to solve the problems. We're not being reasonable with our police departments by expecting the police to solve all the problems of the homeless. People call them when they see somebody talking to themselves, doing erratic behavior. And where the police supposed to go with this? Mm. We've got to, the statewide problem, we've got to increase mental health funding, and particularly for drug and alcohol treatment. When I started in this work 48 years ago, those places where people go for detox, where do they go now? And they expect the police to solve all the problems. They're not being reasonable the way they're handling it.
Yeah, and we have some more calls. Michael and Ed, if you could hold on, because Larry Rice said he'll stick around as long as we have people asking questions. So here's the phone number. It's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. One thing real quick before we go to break. City of St. Louis, they made some headlines. They were bragging. They have 1,000 beds that they just open up at night. What does that do justice compared to the services you were offering?
No. And the homeless don't know where to go. They can be 1,000 beds, and there may be some beds open here or there, but they don't have a computer. They don't know where to go.
That's true.
Bus is left at 7:30 at night. They're alone on the streets. They're cold. They don't have bus tickets. They can't get there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can have the beds, but, hey, you got to keep that bus out there all night long and take them to these open beds.
That helps, yeah. All right, let's get some more of your calls coming up. And thank you for sticking around after the break.
Thank you.
And don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.